The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, we made it through another weekend. Now that's ass backwards, isn't it? We have to make it through another week, but the weekend goes by in about 18 hours. I'd say maybe 20. It goes by too quickly. There's so much going on here. It's really just an amazing situation to watch. First up tonight, Donald Jeffries, and he's got a new article out. It's called The Wide, Wide World of Imprisonment. That's a good takeoff. Remember the old ABC sports program? I'm sure many of you do. The Wide, Wide World of Sports.
Yep.
And Jim McKay, or whatever. Anyway, that was a good play on that. Welcome back, young man.
Well, thank you, Jeff. I appreciate it. And I always love hearing young man. I don't hear that too often, but yeah, it's... You know, I was inspired by that just because I was just doing some research on it. And I just, people have forgotten, you know, 2006 wasn't that long ago, but they did hold an election at the behest of the Bush administration. You know, they said, wait, you know, come on, let's let the Palestinians, you know, have an election there. And Hamas can run. They can run. There's no problem. They can run a candidate. It's okay. They gave their approval of that. Well, the Hamas candidate won. And even the venerable Jimmy Carter, who we know is the, you know, the number one election observer in the world, apparently, he said it was okay, right? So, what happened? They just, no, we can't do that. And they had a brutal blockade on the West Bank and Gaza. And it's, so that's how short our memories are. I mean, to me, my memory is short too. I mean, I don't pay attention that much attention to the Middle East because of this kind of stuff, because it's so ridiculous. And right. And the fact that people have such short attention spans, and the idea that this is they are able to portray this. I hear one conservative talking head after another, and they're just stand with Israel and Hamas and Hezbollah and all that stuff. I don't think there's anybody on the right, with maybe the exception of Tucker Carlson. I'm not sure, but he appears to be kind of halfway even-handed with it. But so maybe he's taking the Pat Buchanan.
You're wise in throwing out a little caveat there. He's got an agenda. He's from a blue blood background, and he's very well connected. So he's not immune to agendas and certainly nudging and pushing and whatever. He plays games. I've watched him.
Sure.
The whole Larry Sinclair thing. He should be ashamed of himself by claiming that whole story was never covered by the journalism element in this country before and all. It was completely a lie, as all you long term listeners know. So Tucker's, you know, he's the only voice we have.
Yeah.
For whatever his flaws may be, he's still the only one speaking a larger truth.
He's not on Fox News anymore, and so he doesn't have, even though he probably has a bigger base on Twitter, I think he's drawing bigger, maybe more viewers, but most people still, especially the people that that's why I try to impress upon people all the time, you know, it doesn't matter, even if your audience was, you know, 10 times what it is or something, and my audience was, we'd still probably just be getting, there would just be more people in the alt world that are awake that found out about us and decided to listen. You know, probably unlikely that any normal people, so-called normal people, normies, are going to listen to that. And that's who we have to reach. Well, if you have a show on Fox News, that reaches some of them. You know, if you can get on one of those networks, and obviously it's very hard to do, but that's why the censorship on YouTube is so bad, because YouTube draws, it draws everybody. And there's a potential if they see, and that's why I make certain when I have my iProtest show that live streams over YouTube. That's where I get the most people on my YouTube channel. But I have to take it down immediately if we discuss COVID, because otherwise they'll throw a strike against me every time. But beyond that, and anything else I discuss, they seem to let me do it. So I try to keep it up there, even though I know what YouTube is. I know what Twitter and Facebook, all that is. But
sure. Sure.
That's where you have to get the audience, because there you're attracting people that might, because we have to, if we're ever going to do anything about this tyranny, we have to outnumber the people who are putting up with it. And right now, obviously, we don't. But that's one way to do it. If you can wake people up, slowly, because I'm sure you've had tons of people that told you over the years that you woke them up or helped wake them up. And I've had very few. Most people have already been, awake by the time they discover me. But if you can just, put the other, imagine if they had a television show that talked about the things I was just talking about, that talked about the history, that talked about the 2006 election.
It'll never happen. It's too bad. What could we title it? You could just take it year by year, and that was the year that was. Remember that one? And
take
it apart and show all the lies and deceit. Mm-hmm. It would be fun. That would be a fun program to do.
Yeah. I mean, just because we don't, and that's what I tell people, the world, the alt world is so competitive, people feuding and fighting and trying to like the lobsters climbing out of the tank, they're trying to pull you down and trying to get ahead of you and all that. And that's what they do. But, we're all trying to wake up the people that need waking up. So, we all work together. It doesn't matter, I think I'm a pretty funny guy and I can talk, but I don't think that I'm going to be the world's greatest entertainer if they give me a television show. But if they did give me a show, just by nature of what I was saying, because it would be so different, people would flock to me. Yeah, a lot of them would hate me. But it would draw huge ratings, which again makes
it such a thing as loving to hate someone. Remember that old line?
Exactly.
Love the hater.
Sure. Yeah. Yes.
Now you've got your own identity. You have your own personality. You could do extremely well on any platform in the media because of your overwhelming commitment to reality. People are going to be drawn to that like a moth to a flame. They're not going to walk away. All I've ever tried to do was put it out there straight. And I know that the people out there, all of you listening, who really care about reality and the truth. That's a tough word to use anymore, but what's really the truth? You've done it on your own. I mean, all I can do is put the ingredients together in a bowl. You've got to do the rest, the prep. You've got to prep yourself. Right. You've got to process it. You've got to come to your own conclusions. We never tell anybody what to do here. We simply ask them to engage in the process of thinking and trying to discern reality. That's it.
That's right. Well, I appreciate it. I've told many people that you never tell me to say or not say anything. I mean, we just talk about whatever we talk about. But when I mention me, I'm just saying myself. But I could mention you just as easily, and or any of the names, Alex Jones, and it would obviously be entertaining. But it doesn't even matter if they're legitimate or not. If they gave any of us that are saying the things we're saying to any degree, if we had a show on Fox News or CNN or MSNBC or anything like that, it would quickly become the number one news show, just as Tucker Carlson's did when he started throwing a little truth out there.
You're correct. You're 100% right.
It doesn't even matter. Yeah. I mean, some of us would have better personalities than others, but you could have a real boring guy. And if he's putting this truth out there, especially if you're talking about the situation now with a total blackout. I mean, Fox News is usually plays the part of the loyal opposition. So they they would, you know, they'll play the conservative stuff, and they'll talk a little bit about transgenders and that kind of stuff, maybe a little critical race theory. But obviously, they're even more pro-Israel than the left. So if you had somebody, just one show that, that just on this issue alone, because it's important, because it's what's overtaking the news right now, and told the history, that had Palestinian activists on the show that aren't able to get on anywhere else, and talked about the other side of the story, and how Israel was created, and what happened to those people right away. And how the initial terrorists, if there is such a thing, you know, what was, when did the word terrorism become invented?
Right.
You know, it was only those that oppose Israel, because if you look at Menachem Begin and the Irgun gang and all those people back then that blew up the King David Hotel.
Yeah, I mean, killers, cold-blooded killers.
Yeah, I mean, if they weren't terrorists, what were they? But, you know, Begin later becomes a respectable leader.
Prime minister.
Yeah, in Israel. So, I mean, so people need to know this history, and they don't, because they don't know much history at all, obviously. You know, I read hidden history books, and it's probably not a good market because most Americans are historically illiterate, but I'm trying. But I mean, something like this is pretty recent history. And, you know, something like when you can't even get a news show to talk about something as recent as 2006, you're talking about 17 years ago. That's pretty recent. We should have a memory of that, but we don't. And just the idea that they can continue to portray the obvious victims here, and it's ironic, Jeff, because you know we have this culture of victimhood, where everybody's a victim. Here you have genuine victims, whose land was stolen, whose homes are being bulldozed, who right now I think their water and electricity and all that has been cut off. Who have been the victims of blockades, and not to mention how many people have been killed, and
over 10,000 now.
Yeah, yeah.
That we know about. There's several thousand who are trapped under the rubble, dead of these whole cities that are being. It's obvious what the Jews are trying to do, and they're probably going to do it. They're going to level Gaza from one end to the other, and anybody who wants to stay there will be living outside in a tent. That's it. They blew up the university yesterday or the day before. What's going on there is absolutely an outrage to humanity and humankind. And the world is really doing nothing so far. But I'm looking forward to November ending. And I think it's going to happen in December. Something big's going to happen. And I don't think necessarily that an Arab nation is going to rise up and trigger it. I think I'm thinking more of Gulf of Tonkin. I think that the Western powers want this war, and they're going to make it happen with a false flag operation. They'll hit a U.S. destroyer, a DDS. They'll kill 50 crewmen, like a Liberty operation. The ship may or may not sink. They'll blame it on Hezbollah, which has anti-ship missiles that can be fired from Lebanon out into the Mediterranean. That's why the fleet is hanging out further away. They're out of the range of these, but they do have anti-ship missiles. And all we have to say is, they got a longer range version, and this destroyer now is sinking. We got an unknown number of crewmen dead and wounded, and their bodies floating in the water, and some video. And we're at war, right like that. Boom, we're there.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, that's all they have. You're right, but I think they will have to do a better job of their false flags than they have in the past, because the one thing, Americans may be getting dumber, you know, on average, the IQ points are dropping, but thanks to the internet, especially in the early years, and young people who are especially if they're asked to fight. I mean, you can say anything we want about the Gen Zs and the buttercups and, you know, the snowflakes and that with the denigrating term for them.
Buttercups. I haven't heard that one. That's good.
They're not a fighting bunch, and they're not motivated. So they're going to be the last ones that are going to want to go fight. First of all, they're not going to really, if they haven't seen it on,
On the flat screen. If they haven't seen it on the flat screen, it doesn't have credibility.
Right, exactly. So
the big screen. It's a 65-inch screen. Or the little screen in your hand. It doesn't matter. If it's on that damn digital video platform, it's got clout or substance. That's the reflex.
Yeah, I mean, if it's not part of Grand Theft Auto, they're not going to understand it. And so it's, this is... something that they, I mean, they might have played World of Warcraft and something like that, but real war, no, I don't think they want that. And so I think you're going to be hard pressed to get the bodies that you need. And they claim, so, and just the fact that there are more, especially you look at the Trump maybe throwing out, you know, mixed signals as he always does. Right. But the, again, his supporters, the vast majority of them, much as they, you know, rejected the vaccine or were skeptical of it, at least they're going to reject any concept of World War III, even though a lot of them probably are pro-Israel. They're going to they're not going to be as pro-Israel as Trump. And again, I think there would be more skepticism. You're already seeing it. Again, we talked about this before the last couple of weeks on the show, is the one saving grace here may be the mm-hmm. non-white agenda that, you know, we all hate as whites, you know, I certainly do. But on the other hand, that's how you get a Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar and AOC and these college students that have been doxxed, ironically, and been victims of cancer culture themselves at Harvard. And more, they're getting a dose of their own medicine. And I see conservatives, you know, cheering that. I said, why are you cheering that? This is the exact same thing they've been doing to you. It's wrong no matter what. You don't dox people for their, and in this case, I happen to obviously agree with them, but because of the non-white agenda, the Palestinians are the victim here. And we don't see them as victims, ironically. But a lot of these, and a lot of the woke left, white leftists don't, because they are pro, they're Zionists too. It doesn't quite fit with the rest of the woke agenda. But to the non-whites who don't really understand the intricacies of why they're supposed to be a Zionist, their sympathies are going to lie with the Palestinians because they're non-white. And they're my new comrades in arms. You know, I may not agree with them about anything else, but because without the, if you didn't have those few voices, I don't know anybody in Congress. They voted. I don't even know what the resolution was for, but they voted some kind of resolution to either declare war on Iran if they do something or something. It was like 354 to 53 or something like that.
I know
the vote was. Yeah. So and what is Congress, Iran doing?
Don, the Congress needs to be vacuumed clean and start all over again with one term, sit out a term, come back for another term. Term limits. Yeah. That's, I've always felt that way. It's not going to solve all the problems, but it's going to help.
It will help.
Here's another thing. You go ahead. You said something earlier. I want to go back to. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, and my proposal, and I got this from the People's Almanac I used to read back, and then when they had those books, I thought they were kind of populist oriented back in the 70s and 80s. And one of their proposals, I've always been promoting it ever since, I would turn the House of Representatives into a lottery system, like much as you do with like
a jury. I told you last time, a draft.
Yeah. Yeah. So you just
lottery or draft, whatever. Okay.
Yeah, you'd get a real cross section that way. You get real diversity.
Of course. Yeah. You said earlier people becoming historically illiterate. Well, they certainly are historically illiterate. And one of the reasons is, and it's not talked about, history now is being groomed and reconfigured and reformatted and changed around the clock digitally. They're going through our history as it appears or doesn't appear on the internet, and they're removing it. They're deleting, they're rewriting all the time. Don't set this aside as some alarmist crap. It's not. They're also going through libraries now, and they're pulling books. They're deleting books from the library systems. They're pulling them. No one's talking about this. They are recreating history. As corrupt as it already is, they're going to make it to really where it's a thumbnail sketch of history. They don't want people looking back. And these poor zillennials, or whatever the hell you want to lump them together, they don't have a chance. They have no idea of what they'll never experience and what they had, what this country had 50 years ago, 50 years ago. They have no idea.
I feel so sorry for them. I try to look past the tattoos and the increased obesity and all that. I mean, it's because it's you know, a sad reflection of everything else in our society. But we the boomers did this. You know, they're the ones that sold this country completely down the river, and they were more concerned with their 401ks and their own profit margins and vacations and all that. And they
got too fat and happy, Don. That's what happened. They gave them too much, and they got lazy.
And they didn't understand that the most of them, if you understood the real estate market alone, the way it was working back when the boomers' parents were owning real estate, most of them probably paid, you know, $15,000 to $20,000 for a nice big house. And by the time they sold it, it was, you know, they had made, you know, at least, you know, $300,000 to $400,000
That was a lot of money. Yeah, there was so much money made when the elevator went up, lots.
Yeah, and not only that, but a lot of them typically might have a investment property or two. So a lot of these boomer kids inherited this stuff. And of course, you know, they were, again, like when my wife and I were married in 1985, and we bought a little townhouse next to the railroad tracks for $70,000 or $71,000. And it was, you know, from there we were able to make enough in equity, lived there 13 years. We were able to turn that into a nice single family home.
You must like trains.
Well, that's all we could afford. You know, that's why it was $71,000. So, I was very worried because I said, God, I don't know if this is ever going to sell. Because when we tried to sell it, the first thing people would be looking at is a railroad track. And what are you going to say? You can't hide it. You know, but a train would always come by when they were there. But
green screen it, Don. You should have green screened it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, can you imagine? Hold on. This is a little opportunity. Americans have no idea of what is being transited on the rail systems of this country. I'm talking about nuclear weapons, bombs, armaments, radioactivity, waste, all kinds of dangerous chemicals in those tank cars. Well, we saw what happened in East Palestine.
Yeah,
right? It goes right by your house all the time, or right through your neighborhood, whatever. But the railroads carry stuff that really shouldn't be allowed, but it is. Nobody says anything. Go ahead. No, sorry, I just couldn't miss that one.
No, and what happened to that East Palestine? You know, that was supposed to be an unmitigated environmental disaster, although nobody but Donald Trump, he was the only public official I know that ever even went there and visited, where he bought all the people McDonald's in his typical fashion, you know. But at least he went there, you know.
That's true.
Yeah.
No.
But
Biden couldn't be bothered. No.
No. He could have bought him an ice cream cone or something, but no, he didn't go there. And nobody, people stopped talking about it. I have no idea. I don't know. They claimed all the fish were dead in the waters. Is that still, was it made up or is that still true? It seems like it's a pretty important story to the people that live there. They claimed all all these natural things were dying, and these people were going to be, you know, tremendously impacted by it. But, and if you remember, Jeff, within that week, there were two or three other things where trains derailed things. And it was like, wait, what the hell? Because we were saying, what is this now? Is this a PSYOP too? How come? Why are we suddenly here? And then I think Biden said something like 32 trains derail every month, or some ridiculous statistic. It's like, what? Really? I don't hear about trains derailing all the time. But
no, I remember that.
And they went on to the next story. And, you know, here we are. We just go from one to the next. That's why right now we're in the middle of Hamas and Israel. And who knows if we're going to go to World War III this time. We, you know, we were with Ukraine and for a long time, you know.
Here's another door we can walk through. We have in this country now, just since the unelected illegal pervert Biden administration took over or was installed, 10 million people approximately, human beings, not the bright lights on the string, but they're here. They came across the non-existent border now. And among those people were Latinos, blacks, Muslims, terrorists, you know that. Lots and lots of Chinese People's Liberation Army members, like 80,000 of them. But let's put that aside, too. We've got 5 million Chinese here legally. Add another 80,000 trained. These people are trained in terrorism. And this country could be taken down in a matter of days. Now, before you wince and turn the dial or whatever you're listening to it on, hold on. If you had, let's just say for fun, 100,000 terrorists. We know we've got 80,000 Chinese. 100,000 terrorists in cells of 10. I can't do the math, but divide 100,000 by 10, and each one of those 10 is a cell, a terror cell, that is given a target matrix to work from, a power plant, right? A substation, okay? pipelines. There are pipelines all over the place in this country. Petroleum, natural gas, to blow those up, right? To go out and mass shoot American civilians to frighten everybody back into their homes. Another shutdown of free transit. On and on and on. Derail the trains. Shut down the freeways. But drop a couple of inner passes on major exchanges, on interstate highways. It's all doable. And if it were coordinated, believe me, this country would be paralyzed
yes.
in stark raving fear in a matter of days. And yeah. we have no military here to confront these people. 350,000 American military are overseas in over 140 countries for what? To keep this country at war and feed the military-industrial complex sooner or later. They're not here. We only have 1.2 million in the total military, the total military. And if 350,000 are overseas, that means what, 800,000 left here to fight 100,000 terrorists and broken up into 10-man or 10-woman or whatever cells doing damage to this country, grievous damage, this country would fall apart. I'm sorry. There's nobody here to take care of it.
Absolutely. I said it. And that's why I'm very skeptical of the sleeper cells and all this other nonsense, because it existed. Just look at our power grids. There's only four of them. You take out one of those giant power grids.
There's a cascade effect, too.
Yeah. They're ancient. And most, if not all, the sensors for those power grids we get from China, our supposed enemy. Which they allege
sensors and transformers. The big transformers usually are made in China, and we have very few on reserve here. And that's true.
Yeah.
We're
and
really then, SOL, real quick.
Yeah. So if they supposedly the Chinese have some kind of remote capability where they could mess with it remotely if they want. I know living in one of the richest counties in the United States, a strong wind can take these power sensors out in a very wealthy county, because they don't build them up here either. Our roads are terrible. They don't touch anything at all. We don't do that. We don't do infrastructure in America, and nobody seems to care. But
we've dug our own grave. We've dug our own grave, allowing our Congress to do this and big business to leave because of unfavorable situations that are economically impacting them. It's all been set up. It's all rigged. It's disgusting how this country has gotten fat, soft, and phony. It's nothing real here much anymore. Yes, some of you listening are as real as it gets, and you're wonderful people, or you wouldn't be listening to this program. We try, and you listen. And so, but are you ready to pick up arms and go out and take on 100,000? Let's say we got 1 million. There could be 1 million terrorists turned loose here. Believe me, one out of 10 who have come across the border. One out of 10, you got 10 million, let's take 1% of them, turn those loose, in addition to the Chinese, and then turn the Negroes loose. What's going to happen here? The Africans from, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, what are they going to do? They don't even speak English, half of them. They got 60 IQs.
And all the ones we know that Alex Jones and any of the other people went to the board and showed, I think Bobby Kennedy even talked about it, all the young just happen to be fighting age males
all
that are coming over as migrants.
We're being set up here. We've been set up. It's done.
Yeah. So if they wanted to do it, you're right. And Americans, as you noted, are very soft now. The only ones that might not be soft are too old to do anything. But the younger people.
The young people are Netflix, right?
Yep.
Netflix.
Yep.
Flat. They got the latest, greatest Apple cell phone, whatever the hell it is. I don't know. They're techie. They can do tech things. But how does that translate to real-world survival?
Right.
It doesn't.
No. And it's shameful what we've allowed to have. But, some of us have been talking about this for decades. I tell people, I may have been the first awake man in America. I was awake as a teenager. I would say, what the hell is going on around here? I was, complaining. I saw things happening then that made no sense. I was becoming, my mind was just developing in terms of being able to comprehend and think critically. And, of course, it was very depressing to realize pretty soon that the vast majority of my fellow human beings weren't able to think critically or wouldn't do it. And that's still the problem. But the Internet, that's why I weep, you know, for what the internet has become, and it still has some great potential, but it was the hope of the world for a long time, and I it just kills me that they were able to get their hands on it and cancel people off the social media, because it was responsible for waking up a lot of people. Alex Jones, people can say what they want about him. So many people I met, some of my, early people, when I first started getting fans, I mean, I was amazed at what the hell am I doing with fans? But most of them discovered me when I was on InfoWars back in the day once, and because it had such a big audience. And that's where they first heard about me. And now I get a lot of people from, that listen to me on your show. But so many people became awake by watching him, regardless of, how legitimate he is or not. Because, again, he had this millions and millions.
You know, when he was starting out, Don, I had him on this program every month for 2 to 3 hours for 2.5 years.
Wow.
Some of you people listening know that. I helped establish Alex Jones. And not that he needed my help, but that was a matter of fact. He wanted to come on the program, and he used to ask if he could just, I've got this little puny website. It's called InfoWars, and I hardly have any news up on it. And would it be okay if I took, 10, no more than 10 stories a day from your wonderful site? And I'm a pretty nice person, and I said, oh, okay, that's fine. He said, I'll put a banner up for rents.com on InfoWars homepage. Don't worry, I'll cover you that way, and I'll promote it. So some 5-6 months later, I just for the hell of it went looking on his site. I don't have much time, but I went and looked. There was no banner up saying rents.com anywhere. He was just taking stories. It's a fact. And I don't know how many tens of thousands of stories he ended up taking, but I helped establish his website and helped establish him as a personality. And back in the day then, he was speaking very good in terms of what he's doing now, in my opinion.
Oh,
he was right on course, right on the right path.
Yep.
And one night, after 2.5 years, it might have been a little more, a little less, he just didn't answer his phone. And I never heard from him again. I don't need any more from you, buddy. I'm gone.
And that's just the unfortunate story of and that's why it's why things don't change, because the people that are the millions and millions of people that are awake to the corruption and the tyranny, the people that rise to become leaders of the alt movement, I call them conspiracy celebrities. And I've dealt with
that's
most
good.
Of them.
That's excellent. Yeah,
They it's very much like, I wrote about the social hierarchy in schools in my book, Bullyocracy. It's kind of like that, where they look at how many followers you have on Twitter, which they're going to look down their nose at me because Twitter shadow bans me and they don't let me grow there. I mean, people tell me all the time, I followed you like 8 times. They keep unfollowing people. So
you mean Yaccarino is still doing that to you?
Yeah, they're
allowing that to go on.
Yep. I mean,
for her. She's a fraud anyway,
it's a little better under Elon Musk. Most of my tweets get through.
His CEO is highly suspect. She's a globalist.
Oh, yes.
You know that.
She is.
Yaccarino.
That was an awful choice. And you just have to roll and say, it's like a Donald Trump pick. It's like, what? What are you doing? But
exactly.
I mean, it's a little better in terms, like, I usually go there. Facebook is hopeless because they just completely shadow ban me, and they're not going to let any, if I try to promote my books or anything like that, they're not going to, but they'll let me say something personal, like for my wedding anniversary or something. Then I'll be able to get hundreds of people reacting, but not anything. They know what I'm trying to get out there.
Now you should have 50 to 100,000 people following you.
Well, you would think, but I some of these other people do. And that's why trying to, and it really is like being in high school, where if you're just a halfway, I mean, you're not unpopular, maybe you're a little popular, but you're not a football star, you're not a cheerleader or whatever. The hierarchy knows where you stand, and that's what will determine whether they can be friends with you or whether they can even talk to you. And that's the way it works in the alt media as well, to a large degree. I mean, there are some cool people that are really cool. I will say for InfoWars, I was on InfoWars again a couple weeks ago for the first time in many years because Harrison Smith, through my producer Tony Arterburn, is a great guy, and he used to work at InfoWars. He was the guest host for David Knight for a long time until they got rid of David Knight. But so he still has friends there. He's friends with Owen Schroer and a lot of them, but he's friends with Harrison Smith, who I happened to be watching the coverage of, because I figured Alex was going to be the pro-Israel. Of course he is. But Harrison Smith is part of InfoWars. He's hosting the War Room now. He is really, really good. He was very critical of Israel, and he was saying all the right stuff. And I was so impressed that, I contacted him, and he had me on the show a couple weeks ago. So hopefully that'll work out to maybe because they still have a big audience. I try to be – I want to make connections.
What's the formal name of the program?
Well, his typical – his normal program is American Journal. But it's part of the InfoWars broadcast. But he's hosting the War Room, which is Owen Schroer's show, because Owen Schroer's in prison. So while he's in prison, for not going in the Capitol, apparently, and walking around with tape over his mouth, they threw, I think, 60 days or something like that.
They're going to let him out on Christmas Eve. You know that?
Yeah, maybe the one.
That's when they're going to let him out. Yeah, Christmas Eve.
Yeah. But he supposedly is in solitary confinement, a la the J6 defendants, which makes no sense, but... Anyhow, so they're good people like that. And I have connections to coast, so I can get on there. And that's a huge audience, but that's really, it's not exactly in the alt media. Coast to Coast is pretty mainline. They cover some things, but they have me on. So they'll certainly, except for the COVID book now. I think I told you that George Norrie had a meeting with the guest hosts. And that's one book I can't discuss on the show. So, which is very disturbing. But again, it's like YouTube. I could talk about everything. I could probably discuss the Holocaust on my show, and I don't think YouTube would take it down. But you talk about COVID and the vaccine, it goes down right away. Mm-hmm. So
The sheep aren't supposed to know they're being deleted or redacted from the ledger. There are more and more people dying all the time now. We get reports all the time.
It absolutely is. But, the people we know, there are people, there are people that are nicer that are not, like, for instance, Cheryl Atkinson is very nice. She's been on my show. Mm-hmm. She'll usually respond to me. Mainstream journalist was on CNN, was fired by CBS News for telling the truth about the WHO exaggerating the number of swine flu deaths in 2009. And it's been pretty good on COVID. She's much easier for me to contact than some of these conspiracy celebrities, and it just it irritates me.
Cheryl Atkinson, you're still talking about her.
Yeah, Cheryl Atkinson.
Yeah, she seems like a very nice, down to earth, kind human being who's a professional journalist. That's what she seems like.
She's as close as they come to being when she was there at CBS and CNN to being an investigative journalist. And they don't allow that. That's why she was fired. They don't allow. But I mean, there's so many people my book. Masking the truth. That's why I'm so glad that Harrison Smith let me get on to his show on InfoWars to discuss it, because the alt media should embrace that. They're all talking about COVID. They're all talking about the vaccine and all that. So this is the book that tells the whole story. But it's competitive. They look at me. If I had a couple hundred thousand followers on Twitter, they would treat me differently. They would want me on. But it's just like the hierarchy in high school. They know where you stand as opposed to where they stand. And so they say, okay, well, I'm too big for him, but if I'm bigger than them, oh yeah, sure. I'd like to, it's these games they play. And that's why it's so hard for us to come together. Yeah. And I see it, I saw it for years in the JFK assassination research community. You see it in the 9/11 research community. You even see it in UFO groups. They're difficult personalities, and people know where you stand. They they can kind of tell what your resume is, and if there was a conspiracy high school somewhere or something, and you went to the cafeteria at lunch. The tables would be predictable how they were seating. The biggest names would all be seated together. And you better not go try to sit at their table.
High school hierarchy. That's it.
Yeah,
you got it.
Yeah. You better not try to sit at their table. So it's hard. It's a shame, because we should all be working together. And We don't. But I mean, there's some of them. And I want to say Sherlock Holmes, but I mean, people like Cindy Sheehan is really down to earth. She always gets back to me.
She's been on several times over the years. Yeah.
She's great. And she's great on the, you know, she's very critical of Israel. And so she's great on that question. And she is her and I, you know, are in solidarity in terms of we always are for peace. There are no exceptions. And that's what I love about her. She's pure. Same thing with Gerald Celente. Gerald Celente is always for peace. He doesn't, I haven't seen any exceptions. You know, and you know, you either believe in peace or you don't. It's Jeanette Rankin, who is probably the greatest woman in American history, and her name, you know, her face should probably be on the $10 bill, if any woman should be. And that was, you know, she once said that it's the only person in Congress to vote against World War II. She had to have police escorts out of the building to protect her, and she was, you know, she was a feminist and a typical leftist of the day, but she was the real deal on war. She said war is a stupid way to resolve problems.
It's asinine. It's beyond. Yeah. It's beyond. It's indescribably suicidal. Ultimately, it's like a cancer. You can go back to. You mentioned that coast to coast isn't quite as geopolitically aligned as it might have been. Well, I could tell you an awful lot about Coast to Coast and its history and Art Bell and everything else. Yes. I worked for the same network. I worked for Premier Radio Networks. I had a 5-year contract. And Coast to Coast was doing great. They brought, they brought Art in. They bought Talk Radio Network, which had Art Bell on out of Las Vegas. Premier Radio Networks bought Talk Radio Network to get Art Bell, okay, to come over and host Coast to Coast. That's what they wanted, and they did it. Well, Art didn't like Yours Truly for whatever reason, and the reason was rather high school pecking order stuff. Every time my program was put up against him, Coast to Coast, when he was with Talk Radio Network, I tied him or beat him. That's not me. That's our listeners out there. That's you people. We did it. It's whatever. You just voted with your preference. So he didn't like that. And he didn't want to be at the same network, Premier Radio Networks, with me. So one day the vice president of Premier called me up to his office. And he said, well, I've got good news and bad news. What do you want first? All right. His name was Jeff also. I said, all right. Let me have the good news. Well, we've been bought by J-Corps. J-A-C-O-R. J-Corps was known as the beast that ate talk radio in America. J-Corps Corporation bought every major talk radio network and platform it could get its hands on. Where it got its money, I still to this day don't know. It probably came from black money. They just went and bought everything. Since we just been sold to J-Corps, they bought us for $87 million or something. I said, well, God, congratulations. You've earned it. You started Premier Radio Networks, you and your two partners. You guys, you deserve it. You're wealthy now. Congratulations. All right, what's the bad news? Well, as you know, we bought Talk Radio Network to bring Bell in here. This was going on at the same time that J-Corps bought them. He said, I just got off. He took a red-eye flight home. He said, I just got off the plane 4 hours ago. I haven't had much sleep. I was in Chicago all day yesterday arguing in front of the board. I said, arguing about what? This is the J-Corps people. Well, Bell has told us that he will not go on the air at Premier Radio Networks, owned by J-Corps, until and unless you are gone.
Wow.
True story. Yeah. And he said, I argued all day yesterday. He said, I don't even understand what you people are talking about. Rents is on from 7 to 10 p.m., Bell is on from 10 to 2. We'll own the night. I said, how much more obvious could it be? He said, I don't understand it. He said, but Bell has made his condition unequivocal. He will not back down. And so I'm having to give you notice at the end of the next year in your contract, we're going to have to let you go to get him to come in here. And that is a true story, friends. And I don't talk about this very often, but I could write a book about all this stuff. At any rate, oh, there's so much out there. If I had time, I probably would. But I ended up helping Art and Ramona a great deal with a big lawsuit they were in later, you know, a couple years later, some years later. And we became, you know, pretty good friends. He was a rival. He was afraid of me, though, for some some reason we weren't even on at the same time. You figure it out.
That's another thing. It's not only social hierarchy, but there's needless competition in this too. People are so competitive. I mean, it should be. And again, the analogy about the lobster is trying to come out. You know, the lobsters pull each other down. And it's the same way it works.
One more quickie. Let me do this before we run out of time. This is real quick. When Art quit, the second time I think it was, and they realized he wasn't going to come back, everybody in the network there, locally, and this is in Sherman Oaks, Southern California in the Valley, they said, well, Rents will just take over and no problem. Hmm. I was supposed to get that. Not that I asked for it. I didn't apply. I didn't do anything. But the decision came down no, and they went to that multiple host format for a while. There were three hosts or four hosts. But I had friends that were in board meetings down there, and they told me what was going on. That for some reason, I told too much truth that caused trouble, like the time I did a program on aspartame, and the Coca-Cola attorneys were in the Chicago headquarters of J-Corps the next day at 8 a.m. in the morning, demanding that I never do another program on aspartame, which is what the vice president told me as well. He said, don't ever do that again. So just to give you an idea of the big time, just a quick look. Wow. Go ahead, finish.
Yeah, well, you have a, that's why I said we talked about any of us getting, your voice alone, your voice is very professional. Like I said, my wife has, heard snippets of all my interviews, and you stood out right away because said, that guy sounds like he's a real radio guy. I said, he sounds so professional. I said, yes, he does. He is. And so it's great that you're in our world and talking to, well-known thought criminals like me. I'm very.
We're both on the same page here. We're trying, and all of you listening are included. We are trying to help those who want to know more, learn more. And we can only do so much, though. And just remember, if you hear the door shut mentally and they're not interested, don't waste your time. Find somebody who really is interested. Help them.
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of time left.
I gave up a long time ago I used to, argue with people and debate people. But once I start, it's amazing. I don't know about you, but I get very little critical feedback or communications from people. It's almost everybody that I hear from.
You're 10 times more likely to get a complaint than a compliment. That's rule one.
Yeah, well, typically that's what you would think, but in my case, I get everyone's very complimentary, and if I didn't
wonderful because that's not normal.
No, I'm amazed. I said, what am I doing here? I don't know, but I think it's because I don't really argue with people. Like I said, you talk about if I'm not going to sit there and debate the single bullet theory or building seven anymore with people. There's no need to. Read what I've written. Listen to my shows. I'm not going to. If you really believe that, you either have not been educated on the subject or you have some kind of agenda. So I'm not going to debate people anymore. As you said, you got to find the people that might be receptive. So I don't try to convince people anymore, about things if they're, because you're going to know whether or not they're open to it. And if their minds are closed and
right.
So many
and
are.
We're confronting the most horrific thing in recorded history, and that is the mass genocide of planet Earth. They've got this shots into 6.5 billion people approximately. And I'm not saying all of them are going to die, but I am saying what the CCP said in that leaked video. The Americans, everyone who's taken those injections is on the way out. He said something very close to that. So you can't bring this up with people. They don't want to hear it. And I understand that. It's very hard to tell people, you really made a fatal mistake, potentially and probably. Yes. And the science backs that up. It's sad. It's a wave now building all the time of more and more people who, after 1, 2, 3 years of getting injected, they're beginning to manifest terminal types of disorders in their body. I mean, there are dozens of them. It's not good. This is not a good situation.
Yeah,
and shedding, who wants to hear about shedding? Nobody.
No.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and again, if we're... we've already been shed on, if that's the case, other than, you know, become isolated communities. Right. There's nothing we can do about it. We just have to hope for the best. But as you said, people, if they fell for all this, and, you know, I don't want to, like I said, we, at some point, really, we should be in the middle of the biggest I told you so in the history of the world. But, you know, nobody nobody likes the Captain Hindsight, you know. And,
No.
I kind of think so. It's and, you know, this.
You tried to lead the way in real time. That's all you can do. You can't go back.
That's all you can do. And people, I talk about this a lot, is it's not just conspiratorial elements here. Human nature is involved. The people that fell for this and demonized people like in my life that canceled me and wanted nothing to do with, people that were friends and had liked my books and interviewed me and deleted me from social media because of COVID. Nothing else. Everything else they were willing to tolerate up until that point. Some of them, Trump, maybe, because I initially supported Trump, but it was mostly COVID. And I lost a lot of people over that. So they are so vested in this. They called us so many names. I was called dangerous by so many people that they're never going to admit we were wrong. I was really stupid to fall for this. I was wrong. You were right.
Right.
People,
right.
The average person has a hard time apologizing for anything, and they have a hard time ever admitting that someone close to them especially was right. You know, you just don't. You know, you were right. I have to give it to you. I mean, they're just not going to do that. So if you're waiting to hear that, it's not going to happen. And I certainly don't want to be proven right by them all dropping dead. So I hope that, you know, doesn't happen. And maybe they'll be smarter the next time. And if they do try to go for a COVID phase two, which it looked like they were going to do for a while, but now they've, you know, they got the prospect of World War III again from the Middle East throwing out there. So yep. I don't think they're going to do that. But who knows? Maybe they'll have a combination where maybe they'll fight World War III with masks on or something.
The chickens are coming home to roost, unfortunately, for a lot of people who were injected. And that's a sad thing to say, but it's true. All right. Here, let me do one more thing real quick here. Don't go away. Just to get this on the record in case I get nuked tomorrow or something. We're all gone. One other thing, just to let you know, and I'm not speaking ill of the departed here. I'm just telling it like it is. I got a call one day from somebody who knew somebody very close to Coast to Coast. And he told me that Art was committed to ruining as much of my audience base as he could. He got a list. I had over 200 stations. He got a list of all the radio stations that carried my program and carried Coast to Coast, okay? We're not on at the same time. These are stations all over the country. Mm-hmm. They carried both programs. He called everyone on my list that also carried Coast to Coast and told them, threatened them, if you don't drop rents, you'll never carry Coast to Coast anymore.
Oh, boy.
This is a true story. It came directly from the horse's mouth, one person removed. So just to let you know, things out there are never what they seem in real life or in this incredible world of media. Mm-hmm. It's a wild scene out there. So those who have worked hard and earned, like you, a position of great respect, I really honor, and I always have. It's a tough world. So congratulations again for all you've done.
Thank you.
You bet.
Appreciate that.
Okay, Don. See ya next
week. Take care, John. Okay, see you later.
All right. Okay, dear friends, we'll be right back with more in just a few. Hold on.